Our gospel this fourth Sunday of Easter comes from the Gospel of John in the 10th chapter. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The word of the Lord. Please be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In these past couple weeks of Easter, we've been reading about the aftermath of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. First, we hear the story of Thomas, one who wanted hard proof of Jesus' resurrection. And then we heard the story of the disciples encountering Jesus along the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus then challenges Peter to profess his love for Jesus three times over. But now our gospel reading takes us back to before the resurrection, before Jesus' trial, before the high priest and Pilate. This Sunday is sometimes referred to as Good Shepherd Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter, when we hear these texts that remind us of Jesus' constant shepherding of his flock. And we know the voice of the shepherd, for we here gathered are indeed members of this flock. But for the Jews who question Jesus today, there isn't an easy answer for who this Jesus person is. He has this following, and people from all walks of life are beginning to whisper to each other that he might be the Messiah that they've been waiting for. But the Jews can't see it. They aren't open to the possibility that the Messiah isn't exactly what they've been trained to believe. They can't accept that other people have figured it out before them, so these other people, the disciples, the tax collectors, prostitutes, slaves, even some of the Pharisees, these people have to be mistaken. They have to be looking at the wrong source material, because this Jesus of Nazareth can't be the Messiah. He doesn't check the right boxes. But there's such a clamor, such a spirit of expectation surrounding him, that those that our writer refers to as the Jews have to ask. And they don't want funny business. They don't want parables. They don't want talking around the issue. They want the truth. "If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly," they demand. And we know how Jesus responds to demands, don't we? Well, long story short, he doesn't. Instead, Jesus explains to them, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe." And it's true. The works that Jesus does should testify to who he is. As the signs that he performs become more and more profound, more and more people begin to see Jesus for who he must be. And yet the cynicism of these powerful Jews, perhaps establishment Jews, makes their skepticism almost impossible to penetrate. But remember, we here are in the season of Easter, when we celebrate that, alleluia, Christ is risen. And we are invited to view these texts today that we are reading with what I would call a post-resurrection eye. We're invited to read this text in the context of our recognizing that Christ has been shown to be the Messiah. Christ has been raised from the dead, the ultimate act that proves who Jesus is. We read this text and we see evidence of who Jesus is based solely on this conversation that he is having. We read this text and we hear the voice of our great shepherd, and we know that the works that he performed are works that bring salvation. But a part of the issue that we confront today is that Jesus can no longer speak plainly to who he is. Jesus isn't challenging religious leaders in temples today. No, now testifying to who Jesus is falls to those who follow him. And this testimony is best attested to by the work that we do ourselves. We know that we aren't saved by works, but we know that others can be blessed through the works that God has put before us. We have heard the voice of the shepherd speaking to us throughout history, but most of us who have heard this voice have heard it through means. We've heard it through the declaration of Scripture, through the testimony of those that we love and trust. The voice of the good shepherd still speaks, but it speaks differently today. The voice of the shepherd spoke through Peter as he raised Tabitha from the dead in Joppa. It wasn't Peter's voice that was telling her, "Tabitha, get up." It was the voice of the shepherd speaking through Peter. And in the awakening of Tabitha, an entire community was awakened to the voice of God among them. Through Peter's working that God entrusted to him, we are told that many believed in the Lord. Could that be true for us? I'll be honest. I haven't been blessed with the ability to speak in tongues or raise the dead just by speaking a word. I'm not even sure if I've been blessed with the ability to tell anybody plainly that Jesus is the Messiah. But I truly believe that the shepherd's voice is heard in this place. I truly believe that the good shepherd is still at work among the people of Messiah. So, how is the shepherd's voice heard here at Messiah? More than that, how is the voice of the good shepherd heard through Messiah? I believe that the Holy Spirit has been revealing the hope and joy of the resurrection here in this place and among you all gathered here for years. I believe all the same that the Holy Spirit is still prompting us to works that God has placed before us. For this reason, I truly believe that the voice of the good shepherd, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is speaking plainly through the work that we do here in this place. When we share the gifts that we have with one another, tending the flock of God that we belong to, the shepherd is speaking. When we offer encouragement to those who are discouraged or brokenhearted, the shepherd is speaking. When we share God's peace with one another, both in this place and out in the world, the shepherd is speaking. The works that we do in Jesus' name proclaim his glory, and our Lord still speaks through his flock. But there's more than that, isn't there? There's more than that, because if the voice of the shepherd is only speaking to the flock already gathered, to those who know the voice by heart, the sheep that are in the wilderness, the sheep that don't know that they are indeed a part of the flock, don't truly hear the voice. How can they if nobody is working the work of the shepherd in the places where they might hear it? It's for this reason that I am thankful for the work that we do with homeless bags, with backpack programs, and so many more. I am thankful for the work that we do in these ministries that reach out, because when we reach out, the voice of the shepherd is extended outward as well. When we act as members of the flock of Christ in this world, the voice of the shepherd indeed can be heard far beyond these walls. And the voice of the shepherd through us reveals that one great truth, that Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And as we declare this truth, we live it in the world. Christ is alive. The shepherd that laid down his life still lives, and his voice echoes throughout his people, from age to age, in this place, around the world, and into the future. Amen.